Hi, you're listening to the Food Adventures Podcast, Season 4. Do you like conversations with people who are passionate about food? When you pick your vacations, do you base it on what you want to eat and then hit up every place Anthony Bourdain said to? Is food your love language? Well, if so, this podcast is for you. Join me here on Fridays, where we will laugh, possibly shed a tear, and always leave hungry for our next great bite of food. And if you're ready, your next food adventure starts right now. Hey everyone, you're listening to the Food Adventures Podcast. I'm your host, Beth Fuller, and this is Season 4. Woo woo! If you're new to the podcast, thanks for being here. If you've been here for all other three seasons, oh my God, I love you. I can't believe we've made it this far. Well, I can, because we're rock stars. So here's the drill. If you don't know the drill, this is the drill. Go to my website for all of the show notes, ElizabethRFuller.com. You don't have to take the notes. I've taken the notes. If you've got questions for the podcast, if you want to be on the podcast, send me an email. Let's go on a food adventure, gmail.com. And of course, follow me on Instagram at Let's Go On A Food Adventure. Slide into the DMs with all of your questions. And please don't forget to like, rate, and share the podcast wherever you listen to it, because that's the way we get heard. And who doesn't want to hear us? All right, let's get into the show. It's just, hello, it's comical. Hi, how are you? How is everyone? I can't believe it's been so long. Like, I almost forgot how to do this. It's been that long. I cannot believe it. It is, when was our last episode together? The beginning of May? Like, what the fuck? It has been weeks. It feels like it has been literally a lifetime. I did not mean to go this long without recording anything. I did not mean to drop off the face of the earth. And all of you are probably wondering what the hell happened. Well, life happened. Life took over and life happened. Where do we leave off? Where did we leave off? So I had to go to my aunt's doings. A funeral doings in Colorado in late April, and then May was one of the busiest months I have had in this career. I mean, it was every other day I was booked. It was awesome. It was like the train had left the station. I was holding on the back of it for dear life. It was fantastic. It was just shoot after shoot after shoot. And then like, there's so much leading up to each shoot and prep that needs to get done with art direction and shot lists and meetings and scouting locations. And then, writing contracts and then getting everything together. And then on top of, you know, the shoot day, and then afterwards, all of the hours and hours and hours of editing and post-production and retouching and just coordinating all of that. It's a lot of work for each individual shoot, let alone, you know, every other day shooting. So anyway, needless to say, this is the first time I'm able to come up for air, in which is fantastic for my photography career. And I could not be more grateful and thrilled. And I can't thank my clients enough. It's just, I haven't been able to talk to you guys. So here I am. How is everyone out in the podcast world? What is going on? What have you been doing? I miss you all dearly. I hope that your summers have been chugging along. I hope that there's been some yummy food moments, some wonderful end of spring celebrations. I think we're done with graduation season. Fucking fingers crossed. I think we're done with... I don't know. I guess we're getting ramping up more into wedding season if you've got a lot of those going on. And then, you know, the smattering of birthday parties and holiday parties and all of that good stuff. So I just wanted to come. Oh, my paper is stuck to my arm. I just wanted to come and check in and say hi and just see where all of you guys are at. Oh, that might be a clunky transition. Sorry. So I wanted to cue the fun music. This was a little clunky. God, I gotta get my shit together. And Oliver's sighing behind me. And then there's tons of road construction going on near me. So it's like, I gotta shut the windows. So anyway, I'm checking in to see where you guys are at. And I thought today, let's do a little check-in episode. Let's talk about TV I've been watching. I know my life. Oh yeah. And so we'll talk about some TV I'm watching. Love to get your feedback on it. I will also talk about some of the yummy recipes I've been devouring and cooking here in our little house. And next episode, I have a handful of questions that you guys have all kindly submitted, and I haven't answered them. So sorry. So sorry, life. Keep sending in your questions. DM Let's Go on a Food Adventure on Instagram, or send them to letsgoonafoodadventure@gmail.com. Okay, well, let's get into some TV time. Now, I don't know about you guys, but after working nonstop, is there anything better than plopping down on your couch and just watching nonsense on TV? And by nonsense, I mean fucking Below Deck. I am obsessed. Obsessed. I have now crushed all of the Mediterranean episodes. There's not a ton of seasons of that, but I've watched them all. I have watched all 3 or 4 seasons of Below Deck Sailing. Fucking some of those people are very problematic. And then I've also watched the OG season. Oh, I've watched the adventure season where they go up north into like Iceland or Finland or Sumland. And they are like in fjords and fucking bicycling and all this other crap. They only did 1 season of that. I've watched all of Australia. You're like, how did you have this much free time? I just let it play in the background. So it's like one of those shows I half watch. And then I started back at season 1 of the OG Below Deck, and I'm working my way forward. I've already watched a handful of those seasons. So the new season of Below Deck Mediterranean is airing right now. I have thoughts. I have feelings. I don't know who's watching it with me. I know a handful of you are because you've reached out to me, and snaps to you. Those who watch it, it's so fucking good. It's so good. I do not think that this yacht chef in the newest season of Med is up to snuff. I just don't. After watching so many seasons of this, I've become a slight expert, I believe, in this world. And I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly with these yacht chefs. And I'm telling you, it's just you either can do it or you can't. And the guy who's on the Mediterranean boat right now is lovely. He is a lovely gentleman. I like him a lot as a person. I think he's a very nice human. I like his dance moves. I like his like joyful energy he's bringing. Unfortunately, he's not seasoned enough to give these people that like super 5-star dining experience that you've just seen with other yacht chefs. Like, for example, on the OG season, eventually you meet Rachel. She is fucking nuts in the best way possible and sometimes the worst way possible. She is such a good yacht chef. Like, she reads the preference sheet. She fucking nails it most of the time. She's just good. And you can only blame, like, in the new season of Med, they're having a lot of issues with their provisions and their provisioner that they're using. And I get it. Like, I think they're in Greece. So, okay. But, like, there's a lot of boats, big yachts that get docked in these areas. And there's a lot of people who are ordering a lot of things. We live in a time in the world where you can kind of get anything you want at any time within reason. And I just don't think a provisioner telling you that they don't have rosé for a boat when you've ordered it ahead of time is even feasible in this day and age. Like, even the yacht guests, this is like episode one, we're like, where is the local fucking liquor store? We will Uber Eats the fucking, like, we will get the bottles of rosé here. You know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous. So I think that sucks. And then I just don't think this yacht chef is up to snuff in the new season of The Med. Love to hear anyone else's thoughts on it. If you're not into this, so sorry. If you are, let me know what you, like, your take is on all of the seasons. I, like I said, started rewatching watching all of the old OG seasons and going forward, because I've watched a handful of the OG seasons already, like the more new seasons. So I needed to start over. And like, I got to meet Kate and Ben and like see Eddie being very problematic in that season two, I think it was, or season three, I can't remember. And just all of these things, it's great. Kate can do no wrong in my eyes. She was also on The Traitors the first season and the second season. And I can absolutely see why. Like, I loved her on The Traitors, and then to watch her on Below Deck in her early years, I'm like, girl, you are fucking crushing it. Like, love Kate. So let me know what you think. And if you're equally as obsessed, fucking chat me up in the DMs about it. I have thoughts. I have feelings. I'm also watching, obviously, the All-Stars RuPaul Drag Race. But this season's tough. This has nothing to do with food. It's just a tough season because no one's getting kicked off. And they're all doing it for charity, which kudos to them. And I love that. And I love that, like, they're highlighting charities that are doing wonderful work out in the world. It's just, I miss the, like, competition feel of it. It feels like without anyone going, that there's just this, I mean, there's like this thing where they're handing out badges and shit, but like, it just doesn't feel the same stakes as when it's a little more cutthroat, when they whittle the girls down and then they're, I don't know. There's something about this format that I'm not digging. But I'm still watching it. Of course, RuPaul can do absolutely no wrong in my eyes and, you know, support the community and, you know, love them. The next TV topic we must discuss, Top Chef. So if you did not watch the finale and you're planning on it, I would stop listening right now. Because spoiler alert, here we go. I was a little peeved at the way that the edit went down. And I didn't realize this until I did some Googling on Thursday once I watched the episode. And I was like, the way that they edited that show made it look like Dan from Wisconsin was gonna win this. The critiques on the table, the critiques with the judges that we saw, made it look like Dan, this was a shoo-in for Dan. Savannah, unfortunately, it was not her night. Like, she was a great chef throughout the season. It was just not her night. So we knew it was either going to be Dan. It was against the Dans. It was Dan or Danny Garcia. And, like, Danny Garcia, I think, cooked at an elevated level the entire season. Enjoyed his food. I did not eat his food, but I enjoyed watching people eat his food. His love for carrots. I have carrots tattooed on me. I totally respect that. I think it was what he accomplished was wonderful. But the way that they edited that finale really made it look like he had more missteps than Dan from Wisconsin. And because of that, myself and other people were like, when they announced it was Danny Garcia, people were kind of like, what the fuck? Like, sure, did he deserve it? Absolutely. Did Dan from Wisconsin deserve it? Yeah, I thought so too, especially the way they edited it. But like, he also performed well over the season too. I think he didn't have like this super media, like super rise as some of the dishes that Danny Garcia did, but he still did good. Like, he made it to the finale for a reason. And he still cooked well. Like, I think he cooked very well. And he was consistent with his cooks, I think is the better way to say it. And the highs were good. But, like, Danny Garcia's highs, I think, were a little higher. Anyway, but he also had some misses. And I then read this whole big Twitter thing. I don't follow Twitter. It was like a, I don't remember where I read it. But it was like somebody had taken Tom's Twitter posts. On or X, whatever the kids are calling it, whatever, tweets, that like he was commenting back on what people were saying. And Tom said it really came down to the way they edited that show. That if you would have seen the hour and a half discussion at the table that they did not show on camera, that it was on camera, but like they didn't show it to us, that you would have heard them say more critiques against Dan from Wisconsin than Danny Garcia. And like, okay, but I just still don't understand then why. It was a very, 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 like the way that they did that edit was a choice. And I just don't understand. I don't understand it. It reminds me of like Charlotte York from Sex and the City. Like, I choose my choice. I choose my choice. And if you're a big Sex and the City fan, you'll get that reference. So anyway, take it or leave it. It was a good season. I'm glad Danny Garcia won, I guess, in the end. And that I'm sure he'll do wonderful things out in the world. And kudos to him. It's a big, big pile of money to win. And I'm grateful that he will probably, I'm sure he will give back in some way to the communities that he's from and passionate about. And I bet he'll make some beautiful food. Anyway. Next up for TV Land this week. So this is, let's see, I think it comes out on Wednesday, Thursday. So this will air the day after it drops, The Bear Season 3. Get your Xanax ready for all of us who are triggered by this show. Holy shit, Season 3 is coming in hot. And I think it's a full season dump. Like, I don't think they're doing the release week by week. Like, I'm pretty sure they do a full season at one whack. I love the show. I think it's a really well done show. I think it's intense to watch. For people who have been in the industry or are still in the industry in any way. Todd and I watch it in small doses. Because it's like we watch an episode and then we need like two palate cleansers afterwards because she's a little intense. Some of those episodes are really intense. And so anyway, I'm excited to see what happens for season three. I'm sure Carmi gets out of the walk-in cooler and I'm sure shit will hit the fan. So get those edibles and Xanax ready. All right, let's take a pause and play some fun music. Okay, up next, my favorite segment. What the hell has Beth been cooking and eating? I know, it's a fun one. Hopefully this inspires you. I'm thinking some of these things you might be like, no, but I don't know. Maybe most of them you'll be like, yay. So let's roll that beautiful bean footage. No, I'm kidding, hold on. All right, what have I been cooking and eating? Well, Todd had to have his, he has his physical, his yearly physical this week. So for the last few weeks, we've been making a concerted effort to make sure that his cholesterol is down. So been avoiding things, including other things, you know, no red meat, stuff like that, low dairy. even though he has been enjoying ice cream, because, you know, he was one fucking bite of ice cream away from Lipitor last year. So let's hope our sweet Todd is and his cholesterol are doing good this year, and that his physical comes back clean as a whistle, or however that should be. Low LDLs, right? Or HDLs. I don't know which one's which, but I know one you don't mind if they're a little higher and one you want low. Beat the fuck out of me. I'm not a doctor. I just play one on TV. So what have I been eating? I've been eating a lot of good food. First up, let's talk about this faux, and not pho, but like faux as in F-A-U-X, scallop ceviche that I made. We made together. The reason I say it's a faux ceviche is because it was not marinated in lime. Like, the protein wasn't, like, air quotes, cooked in lime juice. It was marinated in a kind of acidic-ish marinade. There was, like, lime, soy, cilantro, hot pepper, honey. What else did we put in that? That might have been it. And then mixy, little salt, little pep. Put the scallops in there. Let them sit for maybe a half hour. And then took them out, grilled them. So, but didn't grill them all the way through. Like, just on a super, super hot grill. Got them beautifully caramelized on the outside. Pulled them off. They were still nice and tender in the middle. Utens too. So like a decent sized scallop. And then in the ceviche bowl, in the pot, we did radish, red onion, all very, very, very finely, beautifully chopped. More cilantro, avocado, tomato. What else went in it? Asian pear. Game changer. Salt, pepper, roasted poblano we did. I feel like there was, a serrano pepper. I feel like there was one more thing. Lime juice, a little olive oil, salt and pep. It was so, and then cut the scallops up into like quarters, tossed everything together. And we ate it with chips, and that was dinner. It was so good. So, so, so good. The whole salsa was like cold and the scallops were warm. So it was a nice, like, just texturally, it was really nice. That like heat and cold was really nice. It was just beautifully balanced. The Asian pear just took it to the next level. It was so perfect and good. Highly recommend it. Absolutely made up that recipe. The scallop marinade I did get from Food and Wine, so I'll link that in the show notes. Everything else was like just stuff that we had and like really finely chopped it so it would fit on a chip, and then just mixed it all together. So easy. So it can be like a choose your own adventure of what the fuck you have in your fridge and like what do you want to get rid of. And I know some people are nervous to cook scallops and other seafood. Don't be. Really don't be. You can't screw it up. And, you know, I eat them raw at sushi restaurants, and it's going to be great. And texturally, they're delicious. So get after it. Don't be scared. They're worth the money. And it's just like a nice, light, easy dinner. Make that. And if scallops aren't your thing, or you're allergic, or you're just like, I'm scared to cook them, shrimp would be great in that. I was thinking a whitefish, but it might flake too much. But maybe. Maybe like a sea bass or something. Maybe I wouldn't do salmon. No. Okay. Next up, this is so good. We've had this for dinner a couple of times. It's so good. It is some grilled nectarines with gorgeous semi-crumbly blue cheese. There's one from Ireland I like that Kerrygold makes. And then I couldn't find that one in the grocery store. So I'm trying another one that's like made with a little buttermilk, so it'll have a nice little tang to it. Toasted chopped up hazelnuts, drizzle of honey. Maybe put a little fresh mint on top. I see nothing wrong with that. And if you're feeling very frisky and you want more acid, maybe even like a little pickled red onion or pickled shallots could be nice. Just like very, very little tiny bits scattered on top could be delicious. So there's that. And then I'm doing a marinated grilled skirt steak. The marinade I'm getting from, I just want to get the site right. La Creme de la Creme. I'll put that in the show notes. She looks easy. She looks delicious. Can't wait to participate with her later today. I've made the grilled nectarine salad many times. Pair it with a protein. Call it a day. Delicious. Delicious. Another really easy recipe, which is like a no-cook recipe that we're making this week that I've made before. Highly recommend it. And that would be Nancy Silverton's chopped salad. It's really good. There's a few different versions of the recipe out there in the world. It's in her cookbook too. But Food 52 has a version. Smitten Kitchen has a version. Oh, the grilled nectarines, Smitten Kitchen. I'll link that in the show notes. But the Italian chopped salad, it's like an Italian sub, but all finely chopped. And like the key with this, iceberg lettuce. Oh, swoon. Who doesn't like, give me a person who doesn't like crunchy, cold, cold iceberg lettuce. I don't know. Like, I really don't know. We all eat fucking kale and Swiss chard and, you know, all of the great greens out there that are really, really dark and really, really good for you. But give me some iceberg lettuce. Girl, I am into it. Always have been, always will be. And this is like, you know, the chickpeas, the pepperoncinis, the, you know, sharp provolone, some spicy, I guess it's a calabrese, salami, you know, like just delicious, delicious chickpeas, pickled red onions, like all of the things that you want in a fucking Italian sub get chopped up into this salad. Some radicchio, might do some hard boiled eggs up in there. I don't know, but it's so good. And again, a little choose your own adventure-y. Very, 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 very good. Link it in the show notes. I've got two more for you. I'm salivating. It's almost lunchtime here. I'm salivating. I don't know what I'm going to have for lunch. Oh, we should talk about it. Okay. Made this last week. Really? And I said to Todd, I don't know why we don't make this more often. He's like, I know, I don't either. A big pot of fucking mussels with crusty bread. That was it. And it was like a coconut curry broth. And I used, you know, that tin of curry paste that you can get in the store. And it's like this, I gotta think of the brand, but it looks like a, like almost like a tuna can, and it's in a tin. And they have yellow curry, red curry, Massaman curry. I think they probably have a green curry. I like the Massaman curry because I like a Massaman curry. And we did coconut milk, the curry paste, a little extra ginger, hot pepper. Pretty sure I threw some red onion in there. I also threw zucchini in because I just want a fucking vegetable. And at the end. And then clean the mussels, make sure I picked out all the dead ones, toss that in, wicked quick, dinner's done. Crusty, oh, lemongrass I put in there, crusty bread, dip, eat. And we just had this big communal pot of mussels that him and I just went to town on. So good. So for those of you out there in the world who are like, I don't really know how to cook mussels, or mussels aren't my thing, or I'm a little weary of cooking mussels, so easy. Go to your local seafood market or a good grocery store that you know you can trust the seafood counter, and make sure when you pick your mussels up, ask them if it'd be okay to smell them, because you want to make sure they don't smell too oceany. If they smell too oceany, that means there's probably more dead ones in there than you want. You want to make sure when you get them that you bring them home, put them in a bowl. Like, you can leave them in the netting, but put them in a bowl in your fridge. Just leave them in there until you're ready to eat them that day. Don't get them a day ahead of time. Get them that day to eat them. Clean them with some water. If you have to pick off the beards from them, you can. Usually they come pretty well clean nowadays. But I rinse them a few times in water. Make sure I get all the grain, the grit, or anything out of them that still might be in there. And then they will, when you are rinsing them in the cold water and like let them sit in the cold water for a second, they'll close up. So when they close up, that means they're still alive, they're happy. Any of them that are open, that don't close, they need to get thrown out because they're dead and they could cause you to get sick. And they also have a very distinct oceany smell, like low tide, let's say. So get rid of those. And then when you cook them, get the whole like coconutty, brothy, fucking masaman curry, the whole saucy thing going, throw the mussels into that, put a lid on it, and then just shake them every few minutes. They'll start opening up after a couple of minutes. And once they're all open completely, then they're done. End of story. And anything that doesn't open, toss those out and don't eat them. So could not be easier. So delicious. So delicious. Okay, and one more for the cheap seats in the back. I mean, this is like prime time summer produce. Mark Bittman's from New York Times. Mark Bittman's pasta alla norma. Oh God. I love pasta alla norma. I also love, as we all know, and I've said it probably every month for the last few years on here, Lovin' Lemons fucking eggplant caponata. Oh my God. And we are getting, and it's been so effing hot here. Tomatoes are already started. They are bursting at the seams. It is going to be a hot summer, my friends. Tomatoes and eggplants are coming, and they're coming in hot. And you need to make both. And I'm telling you, you will be so, so, so happy that you did. Both are so, so, so good. I cannot get enough of them. I could eat that eggplant caponata breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I have. Fuck it. Let's be honest. We're in a safe space here. I have. It's so good. And it will keep in the fridge for a few days. And it gets better day two. After day three or four, you just eat it all. You'll eat it all. It should be gone. Don't sit on that. But it is really good. Really, really, really good. Okay, I'm going to answer one listener question because this person literally just asked it while I'm recording. So why not? Why not do one quick one? All right. It's been a minute for this one. Okay, Joge in Massachusetts writes, what is an easy summer pre-made drink for a large group of people? Let's do this, Joge. I have ideas. Thoughts. Okay, so I think that there's a few ways you can go because you want it to be a pre-made batch drink. And you know, not everyone drinks alcohol either. So I'm going to give you a couple of different options. One, and obviously you can choose your own adventure here. One being a very light sangria. I think red sangria is great. I think white sangria is great, but why not a rosé sangria? I think, it can be really light and easy. This one is from David Leibovitz. He uses still like triple sec or Grand Marnier. I would probably use triple sec or Cointreau. I wouldn't use Grand Marnier. He doesn't put in a ton of brandy in this. Brandy is usually a star ingredient in sangria. He uses just a few tablespoons for each bottle of wine that you put in. And then, of course, there's like sparkling water, fruit juice, fruit, sliced fruit, berries. It's kind of a choose your own adventure with that, too. It's light. It's easy. I'll put it in the show notes for you. So if you wanted a sangria, I would go that route. So maybe a rosé sangria, just something a little different. Then in terms of like the Aperol Spritz is very popular. I think The only problem I have with doing a big batch of Aperol spritzes for people, if it doesn't get drank right away, there's a lot of fizzy things in an Aperol spritz. So really, the whole point of it is Prosecco, Aperol, and then a little bit of seltzer water. It's not a drink that can really sit out. It really needs to be consumed fairly quickly. It's in the sense of, if you're going to make a big batch of it, you're going to use like 3 bottles of Prosecco. You're going to use a bottle and a half of Aperol. And then you're going to use a ton of seltzer water. Not a ton, I shouldn't say that, but like a couple of cups of seltzer water. And then people are going to add their own ice, and you'll have garnishes of orange on the side. And if people are willing to drink it right away, I think it's a great option. I just think if it sits, it's going to get less fuzzy and it's not going to taste as good. So there's that. The other thing I think could be kind of fun is doing like a big batch of a Paloma without the tequila in it. And really, for anyone who doesn't know, a Paloma is basically like grapefruit. Usually there's lime, there's a sparkling element, like sparkling water to it. In this recipe from, where did I get this one from? Fed and Fit, and I will link it in the show notes. They have, I think, a little bit of honey in it. And it's just light. It's easy. If you like the grapefruit flavor, I think it's lovely. And then I would put the bottle of tequila on the side and then let people add their own tequila to their drink. The other thing I would put on the side is a little extra sparkling water. So, because some people just don't like sweet drinks. And so to add a little more bubbles to their drink would be really nice. And then, you know, garnishes of lime and grapefruit slices on the side, I think is great. Last but not least, can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with some lemonade and vodka. I think it's a very popular drink in the summer for a reason. I think you can do, if your crowd is a lemonade and vodka crowd, you know, I would put fresh fruit in it, like strawberries, or if you wanted to do blueberries, or you wanted to do blackberries, something like that. If you wanted to muddle some of the strawberries in there and then do like the strawberry lemonade with fresh mint, and then have the vodka, whether it be like the Deep Eddy lemon vodka is delicious. That could go really well in it. Or if you wanted to do the iced tea vodka. And again, I would keep it on the side, and then people can add the vodka if they want. And for those who don't drink, then I would have sparkling water on the side to kind of make their own like sparkling lemonade. But that's what I would suggest doing. Just light, easy, no fuss. You've already got a lot going on that day if you're hosting an event for a lot of people. So hope this helps, my dear friend. Love you to pieces. All right, let's wrap this up. You guys, we did it. We did it. She's back, baby. All right. Let's see if I remember how to do this. Thank you so much for listening. Please go to my website for everything we talked about, all of the yummy recipes, ElizabethRFuller.com. If you have questions for the podcast, send me an email, letsgoonafoodadventure@gmail.com. And of course, tag me in your food adventures on Instagram @letsgoonafoodadventure. I think I got them all. Did I check all those boxes? Okay. I am so grateful to have you listen to me yammer for a selected amount of time. I love you all dearly. I hope you're all doing well in the world. I'm thinking about each and every one of you. So please lead with kindness, make some yummy food together, and I will see you very, very soon. Bye!